All right. No shortage of sports to get to, so I don't know how much stuff we'll do. Let's just do it. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Tuesday.
For a 2018 Tuesday.
2018, it's already a new year.
What?
Happy New Year, everybody.
And what?
Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler. The Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Tyler Scott, who apparently lives here now.
Don't get me started on why.
If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at producer T Scott. And you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. It's a Tuesday, but it's really a Monday. But it feels like a Wednesday. Got a lot of happen this weekend. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
How was your New Year's?
It was fine. I made a mistake. So I planned on, you know, I was going to drink a little beer on Saturday, and then I was going to go pretty hard on New Year's Eve because I've committed to a sober January.
Good luck.
And I had some people over for the fights on Saturday, and it turned into a full-blown beer fest. And between five of us, I think we had 25 beers.
And these are probably high ABV beers because you guys don't drink garbage.
Yeah.
Bombers and, or 12-ounce?
What's that?
Mostly bombers.
Mostly bombers, some 750s, a couple New England IPA cans. But I was hungover all day on Sunday, and my wife was pissed off at me because my mother-in-law came into town, and I was just sleeping. I was, like, useless. And then the football came on, and I went downstairs, and I, like, laid on the couch and watched a crappy Texans game, and I was like, oh, I don't even want to do this. And then, you know, it was after the Texans game. It got a little more exciting because – I watched the Bills, and then I watched the end of the Ravens-Bengals game.
Yeah, that afternoon block of football was as much fun as I've had watching NFL in a long time, just because so much was depending on everything.
But then as soon as it ended, I was, like, back asleep. And, like, I never really got right until Monday morning. But we went out anyway for New Year's. Yeah. I had, like, I think I had two beers and a glass of champagne. That was it. For New Year's Eve, and I mean, I'm finally starting to feel normal again. Hmm. But yeah, but now I'm 2 days sober, so now I'm gonna have to deal with that. I'm gonna have to deal with the DTs.
Yeah, well, you know, good luck with that.
Yeah, listen,
I'm actually shutting it down for a while. Like, I'm just gonna do weekends for a while.
Okay,
but I was sick as a dog yesterday for a different reason because I decided, you know what? I've got to get back into my running thing, so I'm not doing anything on New Year's Eve. Didn't have anything to drink, and then went out and ran a 10K yesterday morning for the first time in, well, really since last February that I've run a timed full one. And I have to say, I mean, I did fine on it. I actually did better than I expected. I have never been so sore in my life as I was all day yesterday and today. And when you get old, like little crap that never hurt before, like today, my left Achilles it hurts like hell.
Okay.
That's what happens when you get old. It's just like new stuff pops up and says, hey, bleep you, pal. What the hell were you thinking? Yeah. So that's all I did.
That's life.
Although I did wake up briefly right before midnight, and I have to say it sounded like Baghdad outside my place. I mean, it was just like everybody's sending off fireworks and guns and everything else. I wish people wouldn't shoot off guns. Because
those bullets come down somewhere.
They do land somewhere.
Yeah.
But – no, pretty quiet. Watched a lot of football and enjoyed the hell out of the college games yesterday.
I did too, actually. And you know what? You know, I feel like I was a little bit vindicated because I said, I have no idea what's going to end up happening in the Oklahoma-Georgia game. I said, I feel like those two teams are too close to call. And I said, I have zero doubt that Alabama is going to smash Clemson. And both those things happen. Like, that Oklahoma-Georgia game, you could flip a coin.
Yeah, and I think we talked about that a lot. I could see that game going either way, and frankly, that's how it played out. Also, I'm off to a real good start because my first big play of the year was UCF against Auburn.
That's good.
Which I was very happy about.
I hope that made up for your Memphis Iowa State over that you talked to me about for weeks.
Well, that one was a bit. I basically broke even with that in the Tech and Colts over the Texans.
Okay.
I had the same amount on both because I felt really strong about both of those.
I just remember you telling me about this game for weeks, and like, "Oh, Fred's going to be so angry."
Yeah, and it just, did not go anywhere near the way I thought it would, but that's okay.
That happens.
The beauty of it is, I came back with a hard bet on the Colts, and then started off the year with UCF for small amount money line and plus 10.
Nice.
That worked out. I had just a little cheap parlay for rooting interest that had UCF money line, Georgia minus 3, and Alabama money line. So
nice.
I'm off to a real good start. So I'm very happy today.
Yeah, I avoided that Oklahoma-Georgia game.
Yeah, that's the only reason I played it was I just wanted to have something to root for, and so I threw that into the parlay. But.
And then I was on Alabama pretty early at minus 1.5, so I did all right with that. But yeah, it's a good start to the year for sure. But the games themselves, what are your thoughts? I guess now on Georgia Alabama.
I love Alabama. I
do too.
I could be wrong on this, but and I feel the same way I did before these games because I really thought that the one team that had a chance to beat Alabama was Oklahoma
because of Baker Mayfield.
Because of Baker Mayfield, and because that's how you beat Alabama. You have a quarterback like that.
Yep, who can move.
Yeah, and creates plays after when the pocket breaks down, which it's going to break down. Who's extremely creative, but I also thought that Oklahoma was going to have a hard time getting by Georgia, and. Yeah, you know, so I really think Alabama is going to house Georgia. I don't think it's going to be that close.
Yeah, I'm sort of in the same boat as you. I thought that Oklahoma could have given Alabama some troubles, but he's out of the way now. And like you see, the difference between Clemson last year and this year,
it's real simple.
I mean, last year Clemson had an amazing, maybe once every 15, 20 years, a program gets a guy like Deshaun Watson. He was a special player for that program. Kelly Bryant is just a guy. He's showing up, and he happens to be under center. And he had nothing for Alabama. Clemson gained in that game about 30 more yards. In the national championship semifinal, they gained 30 more yards than they did against Mercer, who's a middle-of-the-road FCS team in the middle of November. That lets you know how dominant they were last night.
Well, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but Alabama's getting healthy again.
And well, they were until last night.
But they had all their guys. They had most of their linebackers back, those guys that they had been missing when they weren't playing as well. And so you kind of got to see the Alabama that we'd seen most of the year. And now you're going to have some of that. But the one thing that I'm kind of curious that I think Georgia can do to keep it close is I think Sony Michel is such an X factor for them because he's explosive and you kind of bang away with Chubb and then you get him the ball in space and he does amazing things. If they can find a way to get him involved more in the passing game, like some wheel routes and slant routes out of the backfield, I think, that might be a way to sort of mitigate Alabama's defense a little bit.
Maybe. But the problem is to beat Alabama, you have to be able to go down the field.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Georgia can do that. They didn't do it against Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's defense is Oklahoma's defense. It's tough for me to picture it, but what's worked to beat Alabama in the past is having a guy who can move around in the pocket and can beat you down the field. And I just don't know if that's Georgia. Georgia is the kind of team who...
They're Alabama light is what they are.
They line up and they smash helmets and they run the football. And no one who does that with Alabama wins. Like, they're just better at you than it. Or better than you at it. That's what they are. So I think that they're going to have... And I'm sure... Listen, Kirby Smart's a good coach. I think they'll have a good game plan. But that's the other thing. Nick Saban versus his disciples. Yeah. I mean, it is such a... he... uses that dad strength on him.
Yeah.
And it's like the 13-year-old son who thinks he's going to beat up his dad. And then no matter how badass that 13-year-old is, usually dad puts it on him at the end.
Yeah. But that game with Georgia and Oklahoma was terrific. And, yeah, I although I do think Lincoln Riley would like to have some play calls back. But, yeah, that was as good of a football game as I've seen in a while in terms of being competitive. I mean, there were some mistakes, but for the most part, but boy, Georgia in the second half, Kirby Smart did do a very nice job of at making adjustments. And
because they had nothing for Oklahoma in the first half.
They couldn't stop them. So
I mean, so yeah, I say credit to Kirby Smart for getting that thing fixed at halftime. Not only, I mean, obviously defensively they fixed it, but offensively they fixed it big time.
All right, quick break. We got a lot to get to. Don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Hope everybody had a great, great weekend, and happy new year to all of you. 2018 is going to be badass for all the Blitzers. That's a prediction.
From who?
It's a generic prediction. It's going to be a good year
for the Blitzers. That's for a prediction that you're making.
Well, I guess so. If you're going to
okay,
if you're going to hold me to that, I predict it'll be a good year for the Blitzers.
Okay.
So. Oh, man. So, got a lot of stuff to get to. I mean, so much with the NFL, so much with college football. Do you see the early line is Alabama -4.5?
Yeah. I figured it would be 4, and I think it actually opened at 5 and then dropped. The most surprising thing to me was the total's gone up 3 points from the opener, and I'm already hitting the under.
You think it'll keep moving?
I don't know. I mean, that's why I say it's moved an alarming amount. It moved that alarm. It moved from 42 to 45 in like 15 minutes. I'm hitting it now at under 45. I think under 45 is money. And I'll probably, and I hate doing this, but I'll probably do some sort of a tease.
Yeah,
to go up with Alabama and almost like basically make it where I've just got, I'll do a 4-point tease or something like that, 49, and then make it's basically an Alabama win.
Yeah, Randy, can you explain parlays at some point? And sometimes we forget that people aren't always. I mean, we just always assume people know what we're talking about, but of course, there's a great audiobook out there that can tell you all that. Introduction to Sports Betting Blitz Style. Which is still the bestseller on our site, but no, basically you're taking more than one game, and I almost never do them, and I don't recommend people do them seriously, because the reality is your return never matches your odds of hitting, and I play them every now and then. Just for instance, like yesterday, I wanted to have some kind of rooting interest on Oklahoma, but I didn't play for much money. I wasn't going to make a ton off of it, but basically the idea is to bet a little to win a lot. And with a 3-team parlay, you're not winning a lot, but you're winning a little bit. And it's hard enough to hit one game.
Well, and on your parlay, you took some favorites just to win.
Yeah. Like
you didn't give up points.
No, the one long shot I had was UCF money line.
Right.
And then I took Georgia -3, and then I took Alabama on the money line. So it's just something that I honestly don't recommend playing them, especially if you're just getting started, but if you're not taking it very seriously, which I wasn't, and I just wanted to have something to root for, because I didn't have any interest in that Georgia Oklahoma game other than watching it, which maybe that's a me problem. Maybe I need to go to Gamblers Anonymous or something, but I wanted to have some kind of action on the big games. So that's what I did. But hey, can I do a quick plug for SportsMap? There's a lot of good stuff on there today. If you haven't checked out sportsmap.com, please do. There is a college basketball report from AJ Hoffman.
That's me.
Who keeps you up to date on all the goings-on of all the teams that we care about around here in college basketball. We got a Rockets report from Paul Muth as their losing streak ends, but now James Harden's dead.
Their losing player streak continues.
We have the weekly soccer report for those of you who are into that. I know that there's some Glenn Davis listeners out there. Victor, who does the show with Glenn on occasion, who helps Glenn with the show, he does it, so check it out. And John Granato stirred some stuff up with his Rick Smith column.
Yeah, which we haven't even gotten into. We will. I think it's funny that I don't know if you saw this. This is kind of breaking news. NFL.com put it down about 8 minutes ago. Bengals signed Marvin Lewis to 2-year extension.
That guy has – he's not just a cat. That guy's got like 30 lives.
Now, in a way, I find that amusing. Like, that's a – it's surprising. But this, to me, just shows the fear that teams have of trying something new. Because Bill O'Brien, through 4 years, is 31-33 as a coach. Marvin Lewis is 125-112. He's got a 12-win season. He's got some 11-win seasons, some 10-win seasons. Yeah. He's had some...
In a good division, too.
Yeah.
That's not an easy division to win in.
Maybe over the last...
Well, you get a two free squares
right.
with the Browns.
But over the last 10 years, you might argue that's been the toughest division in football, consistently.
At least at the top three.
Yeah. I mean, it's been one of them. Most of them has one good team at the top that's been running the show. Like the Bengals, Ravens, and Steelers have all, for the last 10 years, have been solid contenders. You don't have many divisions like that. But everybody's like, oh, I can't believe they signed him to an extension, which, and I can't really either. But is it going to be any less laughable than when the Texans probably signed Bill O'Brien to an extension? Because I think that's what's going to end up happening.
Is it a 2-year extension?
For Marvin Lewis?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, his contract expired.
Right, so it's for 2 years from...
Yeah, and of course, we all have heard this unwritten rule that you can't have a coach on the last year of his contract, which
right.
Lewis just was.
He was.
So if you're doing 2 years, that explains it. And
Marvin Lewis went 7-9 this year. I mean, it's not like he was great, but I mean, it probably helped that he knocked the Ravens out of the playoffs on the last game of the season, and his team showed some fight for him.
And they finished up pretty well.
Yeah.
But there's not really a ton of excuses for 7-9 this year if you look at that team.
Not in the AFC.
He had to fire his offensive coordinator early on when they didn't. Basically, when the Texans went in there and held them to nothing,
yeah,
they fired their OC. So it hasn't been the best year for him. On the other hand, it's not that I don't want to say, because I always have mixed feelings about this. Because if you've got a successful coach, and he's been successful, then yeah, you tend to want to be safe. On the other hand, you also have to know when players start tuning him out.
Yeah.
And I think that happened with Gary Kubiak here. I think even though I think the guy can coach, and he obviously went on to win a Super Bowl, but people were tuning him out, and maybe they kept him around a little too long. In Marvin Lewis's case, I wonder if it's just not time for them to move on to another guy. But you go back and look at what the Bengals were before him, and that's where you start
seeing. They were the Browns.
Yeah. And you look at it and you say, so do I really want to chance that?
In the Texans' case, though, what they are now – is exactly what they were under Kubiak.
Pretty much, yeah.
They're just, I mean, they're in the middle of the road.
Which is why maybe a new GM will help. I don't know. But
yeah, I was a big fan of the clean sweep, but they move on from Rick Smith. Oh, one more piece of breaking news before we move on to the, and I guess we'll probably save this for next segment, the Rick Smith thing.
Yeah, it sounds like
there's plenty to talk about with it. But Carson Palmer's announced his retirement.
Well, and I think Larry Fitzgerald's going to go too, and Bruce Arians did, so... That's going to be, I wonder.
The Larry Fitzgerald one disappoints me because he's still got gas in the tank.
He's got yeah, he does. And another big year, he's number two all time.
Yeah.
And I mean, not even a big year. He doesn't need that much.
But then you start thinking, well, am I going to have a rookie or Drew Stanton or who throwing to me? You know, it makes your decision a little different.
It also might be one of those things where you sit out for half the year and then
show up somewhere.
Yeah, show up with the happen. Patriots and get your numbers there.
But is it like a big deal to get up to number two all time? I mean, I think Larry Fitzgerald's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think he's already there, but You know me. I always like hitting milestones.
Yeah.
I think
like if he could stick around and be number one, I would say, okay, that makes sense. But I don't know if like sticking around to finish number two is exactly.
Well, but Jerry Rice is so far ahead of everybody
that it's impossible to catch him.
Yeah. But if you were to say, well, other than Jerry Rice, I don't know. It would appeal to me if I were a player, but.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to go out there and get my ass kicked every week either, like he has for all these years. And.
He's number two all time, at least in by wide receivers in terms of receptions.
Yeah,
which I mean that's not a bad. I mean he's third all time overall because Tony Gonzalez has more than him.
Right,
but still a pretty nice little feather in your cap. And
there's
a hell of a career if he does decide to call it off. But he's got more yards than Randy Moss now.
I mean that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
All right, very quick break. There's so much to get to. We'll get to all of it. Don't worry. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So I just tweeted something out from Steven on Houston Sports and stuff. Says there might be a chance for more snow tonight.
Oh, no. I don't want that.
We've already had our snow for the year, right?
Yeah. That's like a once every 10 years thing. We don't need that again.
Yeah, so it might be twice in a year. But so I just tweeted that out if you want to check it out. And also on Houston Sports and stuff, Lamont did his top five radio shows for 2017.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did we make the list?
We did make the list.
That's only because it's on your website.
No, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't even edit the thing.
He would have been like, you know, if it were on your website,
well,
we would have been like number nine.
No, he did it based on his poll he did.
Oh, okay. Where did we finish? Did it say 1 through
5? We were in the top 5.
But you don't want to tell me where exactly we finished?
I want you to go to the website and check it out. Yeah.
All right. You got me.
Same thing for the listeners.
All right.
But, a lot of coaches. John Gruden, really? That's going to happen?
I guess so. And, I kind of feel bad for Jack Del Rio, who I don't think is a bad coach. You know?
No, I don't think he is either. I think from a Texans perspective, I like that all these really good defensive-minded coaches are fired.
Yeah.
And Daniel asked, do you think Vrabel getting calls from the Lions? Why do you think he's getting calls from the Lions and Colts? He led a bad Texans defense this year. He's one of those guys that seems to have a really good reputation around the league. And if I'm the Texans, I'm praying he gets one of those jobs. And then, because look at the coaches you could go get to be your defensive coordinator. Jack Del Rio. John Fox,
yeah.
Chuck Pagano, and those would all be huge upgrades on the defensive side of the ball. So I'd be okay with that. I'd love to see him get that job because I think they need an upgrade there. And, of course, Texans also getting rid of their special teams coaches. No shock there. That's just, you know, I would try and go and get me some of that Jaguar special team stuff.
Yeah,
get some money from there. But, so they get rid of those guys. It looks like O'Brien's going to get an extension when they bring in a new GM. And, I'm okay with all that. I'm okay with them making the moves they're making as long as defensive coordinator winds up being one of them. And maybe they're just letting Vrabel.
It's got to happen.
Yeah, let Vrabel interview and hope somebody hires him. And if they don't, you have to make some kind of change there.
Yeah.
They got rid of their secondary coach as well. So. Should we talk about the Rick Smith thing?
Yeah. Okay. You tell me if I'm wrong on this. Does the Rick Smith thing come off as, all right, this is my Bob McNair voice. All right, Rick, we got to let you go. It's basically come down to where it's either you or Bill, and we've decided to stick with Bill.
I think he's doing fine.
And unfortunately, that means we got to move on from you. And you know you're part of this family. You know, You're my son's godfather, in case anybody didn't know that. And I hate to see you go, so I'd like to know how would you like to go out? Do you want to step down? Do you, and here's my Rick Smith. I've got an idea. Let me use my sick wife as an excuse, and then I'll blame it all on her. Like I'm going to be taking care of her, and I'll mask that. Instead of me being fired, you can just say that I'm taking some time to help my sick wife. Am I wrong in thinking that's how it came off?
Might have come off that way, but that's not
it
what really happened.
It just seems so gross.
But that's not what really happened. I think what really happened is what we've been talking about for
His wife's been sick for years, Fred.
No, she hasn't.
Or
it's only
months.
It's only been a couple of months.
Okay.
But it's been exactly what we've been talking about for a while now, that he's going to get kicked upstairs at some point, and they would bring in somebody else to handle personnel. And that's what happened. He's basically being kicked upstairs. He's also happening to taking this time to go and deal with his wife, which, you know, I'm totally fine with. I think Granato wrote a really good column on this that you should go check out. But, to be honest with you, the timing of it, and I think people reacted very poorly to it when it happened, because as usual, we all overreact to what we hear right then and there. But I'm pretty sure that, I think in his press conference, I guess it was yesterday, he said, I'll keep the vice president title, but if they want to hire a GM, well, that's what's going to happen. They're going to hire a GM, and he'll be vice president of whatever. And, you know, it's a nice way to keep him involved in the organization, but give the job to somebody else, which I'm pretty sure has been in the works for a while.
Yeah.
All right. But I do think the timing of this, it's also a situation where, not a lot of companies are going to not only kind of kick you upstairs, but say, hey, go deal with this. So I kind of give them credit for that. I don't know too many companies that would do that. I think there's some. I think our company would probably do that for the right person.
Our company said I could go play Survivor if I wanted.
Yeah. So, but in general, no, I think it's, I think people immediately overreacted to it and made it sound like it was one of those things where, oh, he's just saving face and all that. But I don't think that's the case at all.
You don't think that if his wife wasn't sick, you think Rick Smith would still be the GM of the Texans today?
No, I don't think he'd be GM. I think he'd be vice president, and he'd be kicked into a role where he's not involved with. That's what I'm saying. I think his role was going to change no matter what.
Okay.
And it just so happens that
then why not just say that the role's changing?
Because when he comes back in a year as whatever, then who knows what's going to happen? I mean, you don't know what the team's going to be like. You may clean the house on the whole thing at that point.
Yeah.
But if they bring in another GM and they have some success, and he can come on and have some role and basically be a vice president who consults on things, or that happens in a lot of companies when you don't want to, you want a guy in the organization, but you don't want him controlling that anymore. I see no real issue with this at all. I think, in fact, it's, they want to keep him in the organization. There's nothing wrong with that. And this is their way of doing it. And, at some point, he'll be back doing something. But.
Well, who's going to take his job?
Well, I the names that are out there, there have been some. The guy from the Patriots is one that Bill O'Brien likes, and
shocker.
I think Brian Gain, who used to be here and went to Buffalo, would be a good guy to bring back. I know he was very well respected while he was here. So, I think it'll be one of those guys, and they'll come in, they'll take over the GM role, and hopefully it'll be somebody that can work with O'Brien, and just you kind of move on from there.
Yeah. So do you think that Bill O'Brien goes this season as a quote-unquote lame duck coach?
No, I don't. I think he'll
get... You think he gets an extension?
Yes.
I hate that. I hate it.
Well, I hate it from a conceptual standpoint because...
He's a losing coach.
Everybody, and we can talk to Lance about this, whose father's a coach, so he understands this pretty well. Head coaches, for some reason, they won't do contract years. It's so rare. It's like an unwritten rule, as he calls it.
Why?
Great question. Great question. But I have no problem with giving him, if next year's his last year, give him a one-year extension so that he's on a two-year deal. And if the team's really good next year, then you look at signing him long-term. But You know, I would be okay with letting him go in the last year, but yeah. they obviously don't do that. So,
well,
but if you could hire a GM, where are you going? You're Bob McNair all of a sudden. I think you're doing fine. What direction do you go?
I don't know. I'd probably look around the league at some of these coaches.
Nick Caserio.
Not these coaches.
Nick Caserio is the New England guy.
Okay.
He's their vice president of player personnel.
I'd look at the teams that have had sort of renaissances and suddenly have become, you know, turned pro or turned franchises around. The guy that I know, the assistant GM, and his name is going to escape me. It's George something. Something starts with a P. The guy that the assistant GM for the Vikings. I don't know. I guess Caserio is interesting because he's a smart guy. That's a tough place to steal people away from, though. As we know, I mean, people know that. They're attached to a golden goose right now, and you can blow that in a hurry if you go and expose it somewhere else.
Yeah, but a GM title at a place where you've already got a quarterback in place, theoretically,
yeah.
would be very appealing to a GM. I wonder why more people don't tap into the Steelers. I mean, that's a franchise that is good every single year.
Well, the Steelers also, they seem to take care of their guys as much as anybody. And, yeah. like, they want to... They like to keep the guys they've got around, so they just take care of them all. So I think that's easier said than done.
Dr. Dre on 290 said a year ago, everybody had Vrabel in their mouth. We can't let him go somewhere else. Let's promote Rack to assistant head coach and let Vrabel be DC. I was never crazy about that.
I was never on that train either.
That move, and I not that it won't eventually work out, but you know, Fosh says, why not move Romeo back to DC?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind doing that, but then it's an awkward conversation of
yeah.
why do we move you to begin with?
Yeah. So, I think there's more changes coming.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Right, from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. So as a Bills fan, did you join all those people and donate to Andy Dalton's foundation?
No, I didn't even see about that until today.
Yeah, we'll 5 o'clock go over all the games and talk about some of that stuff. But I gotta tell you, it's time to get on the map. Sportsmap.com is your one-stop shop for all things Houston sports on the internet. The site covers all your favorite teams, trends, and events. Check out content from some of your favorite radio hosts, including John Granato today, who stirred things up quite a bit. AJ Hoffman has his column up today. I did some stuff over the weekend as well. If you aren't on SportsMap every day, you're missing out. Check it out right now, sportsmap.com. So,
I didn't even see this, but speaking of GMs, and it's sort of the same thing the Texans are doing, Ted Thompson
yeah.
got moved to a new role.
Yeah. It's fairly common, I think. And, yeah, especially when a guy's been there that long. So, just obviously, they think it's time for change. They fired Dom Capers, too, apparently.
Yeah.
The D.C. So, that's why I think the thing with Smith is it's just not all that uncommon that teams do that. When they got a guy they like and respect, but they're ready to move on, you just sort of move them into another role.
Can Denver do that?
They're
kind of stuck, I feel
like. Yeah, he's too polarizing because he does too much there.
Yep.
And he would never go for that. That's the other thing. You kind of have to – he'd be like, bleep it, I quit. So You know how many coaches have been with the same team longer than Marvin Lewis?
Bill Belichick.
That's it.
Oh.
That's it. The list ends right there.
That's so, pretty wild.
Yeah. Man, I don't know how I feel about that one. I see where they're coming from with it, but I also wonder if it's just not time to move on.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm a big believer in if you're stuck in a spot, you know, especially I think now, you know, 4 years, you know what, if you see some progress in the first couple of years and by year four you're not where you wanted to be, just move on. After 4 years, you move on, and you can always play the "well, who are you going to get" game, and the Bengals could do that, the Texans could do that, that's fine. But how about just, we're tired of being stuck where we are. Whoever it is gives some new blood, a fresh start. And I think the Bengals should be looking at it that way. Clearly they aren't there.
But I also see the other side of it is it change for change sake isn't always the best thing. And unless if you've got a legitimate guy that you know it has promise. Because Adam Gase was the guy that everybody was talking about a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
He really done with the Dolphins, what you hope for? Hey, there's so many guys like that that you're going. There's more misses than hits, just like there are with quarterbacks.
There are.
So,
but would you say Marvin Lewis is a hit?
Hey, yeah. If you take
at this point now,
but here's the problem. You have to, if you take the last 2 years off his resume, absolutely he's a hit.
Right.
But you can't do that.
You can't.
And that's the decision you have to make: is are you going to be better? And is there a guy that can take you to that next level? And I think if you know that guy's available, or you think that guy's available, you take the chance. But if you look at it and you say, I don't know if there's anybody that's going to take us there, then I don't think you just make change for change's sake, because you can hire a bad coach.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly think the Colts are going to rue the day they fired Chuck Pagano, and I'll tell you why.
Not me. I've been saying they should fire Chuck Pagano for a couple years.
Well, but go look at that roster.
Oh, it's horrible.
And without Andrew Luck, that team fought every week. They played hard every week. Is he a great game manager? No, but tell me how many coaches in the league actually are.
Not many.
I mean, that there's even the best guys. Even Sean Payton does stuff sometimes. You're going, what the hell?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just seen a couple success stories now. And you see what happened in L.A. with the Rams. You see what happened in Buffalo. And it's like, man, why not just take a chance and get this old guard out of here? You fire Rex Ryan and Jeff Fisher, two guys who were established coaching names but hadn't been putting up the resume. And you fire those guys. You bring in guys that people are going, who the hell is that? Lo and behold, they're both in the playoffs.
Oh,
first year.
No, I'm not saying it can't work, but I also think that the odds of it working are still. Now, L.A. was an interesting case because we all agree that Fisher was just not a good coach. I don't know that we know Marvin Lewis not a good coach. Marvin Lewis is not a good coach.
Right.
Jeff Fisher hadn't had a good season in forever.
Right.
And not only did they make a change, they made a change at defensive coordinator and brought in Wade Phillips, who's really good at turning things around as well. And yeah, that's what that team was pretty close. There was a lot of talent there. I think we all would look at that team and say, man, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't think Jared Goff was going to be a player. And I was wrong about that. But part of that was a coach came in and fixed it.
Yeah.
I think you look at what's happened in Philadelphia. I mean, that was a team that's already been pretty good off and on year in, year out. Brought in the right coach. But, man, you can make so many mistakes. And you know, Adam Gase was supposed to be the next year. He was supposed to be doing what's happening in Los Angeles.
Right.
Hasn't happened. Does it mean it's not going to? I think you get one more year and you start thinking about it.
Well, I think what happened with them is the first thing out of the gate, their quarterback blows his ACL. And you get Jay Cutler. And granted, I wouldn't say Jay Cutler was the problem in Miami this year. I think Jay Cutler might have actually been a pleasant surprise.
Well, he might have been an upgrade, frankly.
Yeah, given what the expectations were of Jay Cutler, he definitely exceeded most people's expectations this year. But, yeah, Miami's still a bad team.
And I'm not saying you don't do it, because I think you can hold on to God. Like, why Gus Bradley was in Jacksonville as long as he was? That makes no sense to me. Because that's a guy that had no success.
Right.
Why they hung on to Jeff Fisher as long as they did. But it's kind of like Marvin Lewis is a lot like his quarterback. It's like, okay, we got a guy we think we can win with. We
do you take a chance with something else now or what?
Well, he is like that kind of a quarterback.
He's Andy Dalton, Ryan Tannehill.
He's probably not going to win us a Super Bowl, but what's our alternative? Which I mean, I guess I understand, but I also feel like, man, you can't just stay stuck in neutral forever.
They did get rid of their DC, though, Paul Gunther. So maybe they thought that guy was part of the problem. I don't know.
Maybe. But their DC is basically just a cover up. That's a shell position, because Marvin Lewis is the DC of that team. And you're right. I mean, Gus Bradley was he was horrendous. I think he won like 15, 16 games in 4 years. He was bad. But I'm talking about guys who they're not great. They're not the kind of guy that you think is going to get you a Super Bowl, but they're not trash. And you just kind of, you're like, well, what do we do? What do we do? And I just think it's always better to say, you know what? Let's try something new. And if that doesn't work, we'll try something new again. Because otherwise we can sit here and be a hover around 500 team forever. Or we can actually go out and put our balls on the table and make some plays. That's what I would be looking to do.
Sean says Ben McAdoo worked out well for my Giants. Yeah, that's the thing.
There
are going to be more misses than hits, especially if you're changing coaches a lot. Go ask the Browns about this.
But you know what? Where would the Giants be right now with Tom Coughlin? In the playoffs? I don't think so.
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Because at the time,
they certainly got worse, though.
The Giants were stuck in neutral, and they just weren't getting anything out of Tom Coughlin anymore. They tried something new. It failed. So they said, okay, at least they were smart enough to recognize early on that it failed and got him out of here. He didn't even get two full seasons.
Yeah. But the reality is it's not that easy to pull a trigger on something, especially in Coughlin's case where you got a guy who won you Super Bowls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's tough.
That's a hard thing to do.
But Marvin Lewis and Bill O'Brien they're not wearing that ring around their neck. We're not worried about that.
And what I would be concerned about if I'm a Bengals fan with Marvin Lewis is, you know, he's the one thing he had was great assistant coaches. And he had Jay Gruden first as an offensive coordinator. He had Hugh Jackson as an offensive coordinator. They were successful then. He had Mike Zimmer for the longest time. Those guys have gone off and gotten head coaching jobs. And he hasn't replaced him. I mean, Hugh Jackson can't win a game as a head coach in Cleveland, but he's a damn good offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And so that's 2 years now where he hasn't really had the guy. And yeah, I guess they've decided to give him a chance to find that guy again. And if you don't, then the two-year extension doesn't really mean anything. You'll be gone next week. Or next year, excuse me.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to O'Brien, too, because I want to dive into that a little bit more. Because I think there's some similarities here in that the Bengals are basically drawing a line through the last 2 years. And I think there's less of a reason to do that than there is here, where if you're going to draw a line through last year or this year, where they went 4-12, there are times you do that. I just wonder if both situations, maybe there's other factors here that we need to be talking about.
Well, Marvin Lewis didn't go 4-12 this year or last year.
No, he didn't.
Marvin Lewis finished one game under 500 this year, and with what we'll agree is a mediocre at best quarterback.
But I want to get to the O'Brien side of this.
All right.
We'll do that maybe when we come back. We'll see. We'll get to it in the next hour. There's too much to get to today. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975.
The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5.